Would you get suited back up there again? I've got something that I'm going to read. And then I'm going to have the musicians come up here and we're going to sing a song and then we'll be dismissed. It won't take very long. We've had a great word thus far in what we've experienced today. But I actually asked for a lighting cue, if I can get my lighting cue up here. And David, I'm going to read this. And I want you to do the soundtrack for it, if you would. Would you do that for me?
I'll interpret.
You guys could help me out? Because what we're going to do here, in just a few moments of time, of what we're going to do together, we're going to find out what happened from the cross to the throne. We're going to take a journey. You and I are going to take a journey together. And we are going to experience something, maybe something that you've never experienced before. So let's go before the Lord right now. And let's worship Him and magnify Him. What a day. What a day we are in. What a time, Lord, You have placed us in. And Father, I pray for all of those who are watching us right now. And I thank You that You are revealing Your plans and Your purposes, and You are giving us understanding and clarity even in the midst of all that is going on. I thank You, Lord, that fear in our lives has to bow its knee to the name which is above every name. And Lord, we enter into this time that You've given us here together to experience You, to experience Your glory, to experience Your presence in this place. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." The Amplified Bible there says, "complete authority." Have complete authority over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God didn't just give Adam authority. He created Adam with complete authority. And Adam walked with that ability to subdue the earth. He walked in it, tended that garden, until something went terribly wrong. What did Adam do? He relinquished his authority and he relinquished his dominion over to an outlaw being. Spiritual death was lodged into his spirit. He abdicated his position as God's underruler, and Satan became his new god. Their sweet communion was lost. God was now on the outside looking in. But God had a plan to restore that dominion and authority and to restore that relationship that He once had with this man. And it was called the plan of redemption. If a man was the key to the fall, then a man had to be the key to redemption. Romans 5:12, 17, 19, and 21 tells us this. "Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many, many be made righteous. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The Father loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus laid down His life in order to reclaim the Father's family. And had Satan known of God's plan of redemption, he would have never crucified Jesus. It says this in 1 Corinthians 2:7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Jesus perfectly followed the plan of redemption. He completely walked out the very steps of the yearly Passover lamb. Except this time, Jesus was about to become the final Passover lamb. And everything He did, He would do for you and for me, for us to regain that place in the garden, for us to regain that authority, for us to regain that dominion. He went to the cross for us. And as the song goes, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. You were on His mind. Romans 5:5, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus hung on the cross for you and for me. Something very significant took place between the cross and the throne. Some people don't know about it. Others don't talk about it. What happened after the cross? Hold on for just a moment. When Jesus died, His spirit was ushered into hell. He had to go to hell in order to bear the curse that was brought on by man. If a man was the key to the fall, then a man had to be the key to redemption. And that included a man going to hell for you and me. So many people stop at the cross. They stop at the tomb, but they don't realize what He did after that, what took place after that. What is hell? And now we're going to describe what hell is. What is hell? Scripture defines hell as the lowest depths in the mansion of the dead, the place of punishment in the kingdom of death, the place of ruin and destruction, the region of the departed spirits of the lost, and the pit of the underworld and the destiny of the doom. Hell was actually built out of God's love for man. How can that be? How can that possibly be? There had to be a prison for eternal criminals. The wicked had to be kept separated so they wouldn't taint the new heaven and the new earth. Hell was built for our protection. And Jesus had to go there to bear the curse that we deserved. What happened when Jesus was ushered into hell? Jesus' spirit became impregnated with the sin nature of the world. He sank to the lowest depths of Hades. Satan and his cohorts surrounded him. The entire host of hell came upon him. The agony was beyond words. Psalm 22:12 describes what began to happen. "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion." What did Jesus experience in hell? His spirit was there to suffer as he paid man's penalty for sin. Galatians 3:13 says, he was made a curse for us. Jesus was made a curse for me. And he took upon himself every curse in the book of the law. Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68, is a picture of what took place in hell. It is a picture of the atmosphere of the curse that Jesus went to bear for us that we did not have to carry. What took place there? Well, according to Deuteronomy 28, he was struck down before his enemies. Pestilence clung to him. Consumption, fever, inflammation tormented him. He was covered with boils, tumors, and scurvy. He experienced madness, blindness, dismay of heart and mind. He was afflicted with every sickness, every disease, every grief, and every sorrow. He found no ease or rest for the soles of his feet. He had a trembling heart and failing of eyes from disappointment of heart. He was stricken with fainting of mind and languishing of spirit. His life hung in doubt before him. He feared night and day. He did not have any assurance of his life. This is what Jesus was experiencing in hell. He even bore coronavirus. Yes, he bore that virus. In verse 59, he was afflicted with great plagues. In verse 61, he was tormented by every sickness and every plague that is not even listed in the book of the law. That includes COVID-19. It is a curse that Jesus bore in the pit of hell. This affliction of the curse, it went on and on and on. 3 days and nights, it continued uninterrupted. Satan had thought he had Jesus. I'm finally conquering the kingdom he proudly boasts. And all seemed hopeless until a sound from heaven. There was a sound from above that shook all of hell. They stopped what they were doing to Jesus, and they looked around and they looked upward, and a voice, the voice, thundered from heaven throughout the caverns of hell. It is enough. The price is paid. Loose him and let him go. Satan's plot was beginning to come undone. The plan of redemption had entered into its final stages. The mystery of redemption that was hidden throughout the ages in scriptures was finally being fulfilled. In Jonah 2:22, out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice, and the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. In Psalm 16:10, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your anointed one to see corruption. In Psalm 2:7, the Lord had said to me, you are my son. This day have I begotten you. And in the midst of all of Satan and all of his cohorts, Jesus rose up and Satan's annihilation had begun. Romans 1:17, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public display of them openly, triumphing them in over them in himself. Hebrews 12:14-15, through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to death. Jesus hurled back the forces of death. He triumphed over Satan. He conquered the hosts of hell. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Throughout eternity, the archives of the Supreme Court of the universe, there will be the records of Jesus' visit to hell, of Satan's defeat, and of man's legal redemption. His cohorts, Satan's cohorts, saw him put off from himself the principalities and the powers. They saw him paralyze the death-dealing ability of Satan. They saw him conquer the hosts of the leaders of terror. They saw him strip of Satan of the authority and dominion of which he had robbed Adam in the garden. They saw him defeat coronavirus. They saw Jesus rise up victorious from the dead. The plan of redemption worked. It worked. The plan worked. Galatians 3:13 tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham can come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We were made alive with him when he was raised from the dead. See, we don't stop at the cross. We don't stop at the tomb. We don't even stop in the grave. We don't stop when Jesus was resurrected. No, we continue on from the place that we were raised up with him. You and I are experiencing resurrection life. And coronavirus or any other disease or infirmity or sickness cannot exist in a body that is filled with the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were made alive with him when he was raised from the dead. Romans 8:29, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. God has gotten his family back. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and in the circumcision of your flesh, has he quickened and made alive together, having forgiven you all trespasses. Jesus was the firstborn from death to life. And if there was a firstborn, there must be a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and into the thousands and into the millions. That would be you. That would be me. In 1 Corinthians 15:54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, I need you on piano now. I need you to go on over into piano now, because this is getting really good. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on more immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 1:22, and he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Spiritual death was broken so that you and I could have life. Sickness and disease was destroyed so that we could live in health. Poverty, lack, and debt were defeated so that we could live in prosperity. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised up right alongside him. Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen in Christ, and listen to this, Ephesians 2:4-7, is the anthem of eternal victory. But God, who is rich in mercy, in order to satisfy His great, wonderful, and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He made us alive together in Christ. By grace are we saved. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Amplified Bible says, and He raised us up together with Him. He made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, so that in the ages to come, He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And He did all of this so that He might clearly demonstrate for eternity to come the immeasurable, the limitless, the surpassing riches of His free grace in His kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. Jesus' resurrection, His resurrection. And you know what? You need to light this platform because we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Come on, you need to turn the light on for this platform. Jesus' resurrection was proof of Satan's defeat. It was proof of our redemption. It was proof of our legal right to rule and reign again. It is proof of our identification with Him. We were crucified with Him. We were buried with Him. We went to hell with Him. We were raised up with Him. We were seated with Him in the heavenly sphere. We are Satan's masters. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Satan can't lord it over us anymore. We are new creation, sons and daughters. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We walk in the blessing of Abraham. We have a covenant with God, and we are here to enforce the covenant. We are the enforcers. That's who we are. That's what Jesus made us. We've been made to sit in heavenly places with Him, ruling and reigning as enforcers. Jesus took Satan's legal rights away in Him when He rose from the grave. And Jesus has put us in charge of enforcing Satan's defeat. Hebrews 10:12. Whereas this one, Christ, after He offered a single sacrifice for His sins that shall avail for all times, He sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until His enemies should be made a footstool beneath His feet. Jesus is commanding us to carry out the victory He won at the cross in hell. And that includes our dominion and our authority over coronavirus. We have dominion over it. The resurrected Lord lives on the inside of us. We speak His words. We declare His thoughts. And we bring to pass those things on earth that need to be as in heaven. Days of heaven on earth. Revelation 1:5. And we're almost to the end. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And He's made us kings. He's made us priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever. And in Luke 19, it says, occupy until I come. We, the body of Christ, are an occupying force. We are an occupying army. And the devil cannot take over our lives. We must continue to take authority over COVID-19 until it has completely disappeared from off the face of the earth. And what you and I do is we remind Satan that he is a defeated foe. And there is a name. There is a name that we've been given. That's a name which is above every name. And it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You today that we've been lifted up and resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray over everyone who's listening and watching right now. And I thank you for the healing power of God in their bodies. We pray over people across this nation and all over the world. There is a massive worldwide healing service that is taking place right now. Coronavirus, you bow your knee. You bow your knee. Judgment has been executed on you, and you bow your knee. We take authority. We take authority in our homes. Parents, you take authority over this thing. You take authority over it with your children. You paint the blood of Jesus over the doorposts, that blood of the precious Passover Lamb of God. And that disease, that sickness, that death, that poverty, that lack must pass over you. In the name of Jesus, we serve a resurrected Lord. Give God praise for that. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, look into his face. Look into his face and behold him. Behold the love that God has done. All of this was because he loved us. All of what took place in hell and on the cross and with Jesus being beaten, it was all for us. Close your eyes right now and behold the Lord Jesus.